Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. New Testament preachers preached Christ. He was their theme and focal point of all that they taught. When Philip went down to Samaria, he preached Christ and his kingdom, Acts chapter 8. To the Ethiopian, he preached Jesus, also Acts chapter 8. Paul said he preached Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And would that all who claim to be gospel preachers today would preach Christ. Leave off their deathbed emotionalism and their personal testimonies, their book reviews, their social reforms, their politics and creeds and human philosophies and entertainments. Preaching Christ includes all that is revealed concerning Him. From His pre-existence as deity before the beginning, His time here on earth, all that transpired, His present rule and reign in heaven, His coming return and judgment, all these things are embodied in preaching Christ. One could not include everything that must be preached in one session, lest it extend longer than the mind could comprehend. Preaching Christ includes preaching about His ascension into heaven at the conclusion of His earthly ministry. In Luke 24, "And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen." Again in Acts chapter 1, "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Now we shall ask and answer just four questions regarding the ascension of Christ. And these four are: when, from whence, to where, and why. In terms of years, why, it was a little over 2,000 years ago, or at least thereabouts. More specifically, it was 40 days after His resurrection, after He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs, Acts 1 and verse 3. He had appeared to many as evidence of His resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, there are at least 12 different and specific appearances of Christ after His resurrection recorded in the Bible. And during these 40 days, He was teaching His apostles concerning the kingdom, Acts chapter 1. And even as He was soon to leave them, right until the last, He kept instructing them. His ascension was at the close of His earthly sojourn. He had been born of the Virgin Mary nearly 33 or so years earlier, the last 3 or 3.5 years having been spent in accomplishing His mission. He had come to seek and to save the lost. It was His mission to save sinners. He provided the way of salvation for mankind. And now that His work was completed, and as He said, "Having finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do," He returned to the state of glory from which He had come. He ascended while witnesses beheld Him. Human eyes had never seen such as that. And their eyes followed Him upward until He was no longer in sight, but received into the clouds. The value of these witnesses was immeasurable in the labor that these men were soon to undertake. Now they could preach a full confidence, the truth concerning the whereabouts of Jesus. And with great emphasis they could declare what they had seen and what they had heard. 1 John 1, 1 through 3. And from where did He ascend? He left a world that had not received Him. The world was unworthy of Him or the blessings that He brought. He left a world abounding in sin and unrighteousness, where people were undeserving without merit. The irony of the life of Christ on earth is that He came for man's good, but the world hated Him. Light is come into the world, but men love the darkness of their sins, John chapter 3, 19 and 20. They subjected the just and holy one to abuse and maltreatment that was even too terrible for the worst sort of criminal. But geographically, the location of the ascension was near Bethany. Only once did Jesus ever go beyond the borders of Palestine, as far as the record is concerned. His life was spent in a very small area. We marvel at the influence of one who traveled no more than did Jesus. The actual spot from which he ascended was the Mount of Olives, not far from the home of his friends of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was but a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. And he ascended from a place where he had often gone for prayer and solitude, from the multitudes and the stress often imposed upon him. Oh, he had been there often, to teach and to rest. And those who have visited this area today tell us that it is still a garden-like environment and a peaceful atmosphere. Well, where did he go? He went to a place that is invisible to the human eye. The scripture says he went out of their sight. But he went into a place of rank and power. He is now seated on the right hand of God, Colossians 3 and verse 1. When he ascended, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. This designates a place of rank and honor and authority and unexcelled power. Luke 24:51 tells us that he was carried up into heaven. This means that he went to that great spiritual realm of joy and peace and goodness and purity. He went to the same place that is promised to those who come to him and who live faithfully in him. And what a marvelous thought to know that where Jesus went is not out of the reach of those of us who are human beings. He went to an unseen world, but yet he's near enough to see us and to sympathize with us and to watch over us, provide for us, and even intercede on our behalf. And what is even more wonderful is that we can go where he is, John 14, 1 through 4. The mission of Jesus here on earth was to make it possible for us to go and dwell with him forever in the land of eternal life and the heavenly reward with deity. But why did he ascend into heaven? It seems to me that of our four questions, this one is by far the most important of them all. There are a number of reasons we can consider, and some of them are explicitly stated and some of them are implied. He went to receive his kingdom. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 12, in the parable where Jesus taught, where he pictures his going away and coming again, Christ shows that he went away to receive for himself a kingdom. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it is prophesied of the event when the Son of Man would go to the Ancient of Days, which simply means God the Father, and he would be given a kingdom. It was announced before his birth that he would be a king on the throne of David, and his was a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly one, John 18 and verse 36. And while on earth, he foretold of the coming of his kingdom. He said some standing there before him and listening to him would not taste of death until they saw the kingdom of God come with power. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, and he identified that power as the coming of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, which did come on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. He had even foretold the signs where it was able to be known, the moment of the coming of the kingdom. And furthermore, he had promised his apostles that he would send them a comforter, the Holy Spirit, when he left them. He said it was expedient that he go away, John 16:7. And the misunderstanding of the nature of his kingdom, even among his apostles, it made it needful that he remain on this earth no longer. He also would be hindered while in the flesh, even subject to certain limitations and persecutions, as was evident while he was here. He could not be a king and priest on earth because he was of the tribe of Judah, not the priestly tribe of Levi. And furthermore, the earth is God's footstool, not his throne, Stephen said in Acts 7 and verse 49. Having made all the necessary preparations for his return, having fulfilled the work that he was sent to accomplish, he ascended back into heaven to fulfill the prophecies that had been foretold concerning him and this event. But in addition to all of these, we have that explicitly stated reason by Christ himself in John 14,
I go
to prepare a place for you. We have his very own words as to why he returned. We have his very own assurance that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Objection may be raised that this promise was given only to the apostles, for the words were spoken to them. The promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit applied only to them, to be sure. But Paul added, when speaking of the crown of righteousness that he would receive, he said, "And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing," 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And when he comes again from heaven, we shall be raised to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Yes, our Lord returned to be king and priest and mediator, the one who would reward, the spiritual companion with all of those that follow him. God's word teaches us that Jesus is our Savior now, and he reigns in heaven as king over his kingdom. And we can be thankful he was lifted up in this fashion. He was lifted up on the cross, but lifted up also from the tomb, but eventually lifted up into heaven. In these ways, he became our Savior and provided God's plan for saving man, providing the very basis of our hope of eternal life. And as we conclude our brief thoughts about the ascension of Christ, have you seriously considered the time when you can be lifted up into the glories of heaven? We shall be raised from the dead, but to what existence in eternity? Shall we meet him in the air and return to heaven to be with him? Friend, the answer is yes, provided we have taken advantage of the way that he provided, part of which was his ascension from Mount Olivet. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.